All right, you guys can grab a seat. Good morning. Welcome to all of you. Welcome out to Cornerstone Church. Want to give a special welcome to those of you who join us online, as well as those of you who are joining us in the overflow room. Sorry about that. We have services at 8 and 11. So let's, I don't know, maybe I'll give everybody who comes at 8 o'clock service a pack of gum or something awesome to incentivize them to go there. We will probably add more services soon. So we are headed into the fall season of ministry at Cornerstone Church. There's a lot going on here. We're gonna try to highlight a lot of that. Throughout the fall, we will have at least three services. So we got an 8 o'clock, a 9:30 that you're in. We have an 11 o'clock service after this. And throughout this fall, we're gonna be teaching through the book of Acts. You don't have to turn there. We're actually gonna have 2 weeks before we dive together into Acts, where we're kinda setting the theme for this fall, and we're gonna walk through this idea of growing deeper together. What it looks like in an unusual season to say, God, we believe you're still at work, and we want you to work in us in this unusual season in an unusual way. We're full of faith. As we head into this fall, we know it's not gonna look the same or feel the same as other falls do, but things that feel different can still be awesome and good and powerful. In fact, I just wanna show you one little evidence of some unusual work in the unusual time. Let me show you a picture of the Salt Company kickoff that we had this past week. We're gonna throw this up on the screens. So, okay, yeah, let me describe what's here. Okay, so that is 1,700 plus university students sitting 6 feet apart in military precision, guys. That's worth a clap. Okay, that's awesome. So obviously, we couldn't fit all of them spaced out in here, so we took it out to the parking lot, and they are literally seated 6 feet apart in X's. You can't see the shot from that angle. They all wore facial coverings the whole time, and they did a great job with it, and everything was different. We weren't on Central Campus, and we were in facial coverings and seated 6 feet apart, and it was incredible. God can do amazing things in unusual places. And so I'm not gonna spend my time this fall, and we don't wanna spend our time this fall as a church dwelling on what we can't do. We wanna say, God, what can you do and how can we be a part of that? How can we head forward with optimism that the same God who is sovereign over all is sovereign over this moment, and he wants to do something in our lives to grow us deeper together. And so, as we launch into this fall, we're just gonna spend the next 2 weeks. Me this week, I'm gonna focus on together. Next week, Solomon is gonna help us just talk through what it looks like to grow deeper in Christ. We're gonna be growing deeper together. We believe God's at work. And I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and following. We're gonna just ask the question, God, how do you wanna grow us together? What does it look like for us in unusual times to see an unusual work of God? And so Hebrews chapter 10, we're gonna be verses 19 to 25, just asking the question, God, what do you wanna do to grow us deeper together? So if you have a Bible, whether you're here in the room, online, or in the overflow room, why don't you join along with me as we open the scripture together, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus, he has inaugurated for us a new and living way through the curtain, that is through his flesh. Since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, since he who promised is faithful, and let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works. Another way to put this, let us watch out for one another is another way to render that. Looking out for one another to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other and all the more as you see the day approaching. It's our focus today, this book of Hebrews. It's written to a group of Christians who are facing pressure to turn away from the new way of following Jesus and back to the old way of Judaism. Underneath severe pressure of persecution, they're running out of endurance. In an unusually difficult and trying circumstance, they're asking the question over and over, is following Jesus worth it? Is it worth it to walk with Jesus? Is it worth it to keep going? And so here in this paragraph, we kind of reach the hinge point in the book of Hebrews. The 10 chapters prior, the author has been laying out why Jesus is better than the old ways, why it is worth it to follow him. And then in this hinge, the author comes and he says, so since all of that is true, since Jesus made a new and living way for us, we need to keep going forward. Don't give up. Don't waver. Keep going. And he does so with kind of three commands in this paragraph. They all began with let us, right? Verse 22, he says, since all of that is true, it's Jesus, since we have a new way to go to God, let us draw near to God in the new way made by Jesus. Verse 23, let us hold on to the confession. Don't waver in what you believe in Jesus. And then verse 24, this is the focus for us today as we consider what it means to grow deeper together. He says, let us consider one another. Watch out for one another. And in order to do that, we can't, verse 25, neglect meeting together. Don't stop meeting together. You have to encourage one another in Christ. Let me state that positively. That's a negative way. Don't stop meeting. The positive way is this. If you're gonna keep going for Jesus, if you're gonna hold fast to him, you need to keep meeting so you can keep encouraging one another. You have to keep gathering so you remember who you are and you keep walking forward. What this is teaching us is something foundational, that the essence of Christianity is that we are a gathering people and a community of faith. I'm gonna say this a bunch of different ways, this principle. If Christianity is a sport, we're not an individual sport, we're a team game. Christianity isn't just me and Jesus walking down the road of life together, it is we and Jesus. We aren't just individuals pursuing God, we're a community joined together. We aren't just united to Christ, we are members of his body and united to one another. And so, the author of Hebrews, when he sees people wavering, like, oh, it's so hard, should we keep going? Of all the things he could have chosen to encourage them with, of all of the spiritual habits and practices he could have chosen, he doesn't say to that group, you need to keep reading your Bible, you need to keep praying, you need to keep up your individual practices of holiness. No, what's the one thing he draws their attention to? He says this, you have to keep meeting together. You can't forsake being together because you have to keep encouraging each other. You have to keep remembering who you are. See, there's a modern mindset on spirituality that spirituality is kind of like an individual set of spiritual practices, right? They're individual. I do my meditation practice. I center my Zen self in, and then I go out. It's kind of like spirituality-based self-help. But Christianity, while there's certainly individual practices of holiness, prayer, reading scripture, silence and solitude, Christianity isn't a set of practices. It's a confession we hold about Jesus and a community he makes us part of. There's no such thing as an individual spiritual life. The way theologian Bruce Milne puts it, he says the Christian life is inescapably corporate. It's not just me and Jesus. It's always we in Jesus. And so gathering as a regular discipline must characterize the Christian life because there is no simple individual Christian life. We're members of one another. To be united to Christ means to be a part of his body. Now, the form in which those gatherings that we must have as Christians are to take place in, the form will vary and has varied through the history of church and the geography of church. I mean, if you were to ask Christians in the first century, what does it mean to make sure you gather together so you can consider and encourage one another? They never could have had in their mind in the first century coming to a room like this, because what we know from the history of church architecture is we see no church buildings in existence in the first century. Because Christianity is a marginalized and oppressed group, they didn't build buildings. They met in homes and in courtyards. So when he says gather together, they're thinking get together in the living room. Now, in America today, we might think of something like this, get together in a large room and worship. The form may change, but the function, the purpose holds the same. It's true around the world today. If you were to say to our brothers and sisters in China, don't forsake meeting together, they're not thinking big building, they're thinking living room. Our brothers and sisters in Zambia today are gathered outdoors under thatched roofs, worshiping Jesus. And many in America even aren't in mega buildings like this. Our brothers and sisters in Lawrence, Kansas at Story Hill are meeting in a gymnasium or in a park. In our newest church plant in Bloomington, Indiana, they're meeting in a hotel gathering room. Every one of those are obeying this text, though the form may be flexible and different. They all may look different, sound different, but they're all abiding by this principle of what it looks like to grow deeper together. The form may change while the function holds the same. We are gathering to remember who we are in Jesus. And so that means, let me just get on a little hobby horse. We should never be socially distant. Okay, so I know in the global pandemic, that's the phrase, social distancing. But the danger isn't social connection, the danger is physical space, right? So I'd prefer strongly the term stay physically distant, but social isolation kills people. We need to be socially interwoven and just maybe 6 feet apart and give an air high five or something like that, air hugs. Look, we live in an unusual time, but while the forms of gathering may be flexible and different, the purpose of gathering can't change. And so the question that our elders have really been wrestling with here is, what does it look like for us in the time of a global pandemic to take seriously the scripture that says we need to hold fast to Christ, and that means we need to keep encouraging one another as we gather? I'd love to walk you through the in-depth conversation and all that. We don't have time for that. So what I am going to refer you to is this. I kind of downloaded a lot of our elder conversation into a podcast that you could go listen to. So Cornerstone Church, I don't know if you know this, we have 2 podcast streams because we're super techie and awesome and hip to the times of the technology. And so you can go to your podcast machine today and you can type in Cornerstone Church and you'll see 2 podcasts. Actually, there's like a million Cornerstone Churches. So you gotta put Cornerstone Church of Ames. There's our sermon podcast, and then there's one called the Equip Podcast. The Equip Podcast is a space where our elders kind of can pull aside and shepherd through contemporary issues. This week's Equip Podcast is all about how we work through how we should gather as a church in the time of a pandemic. So get your podcast machine out today and type it in, Cornerstone Church, Ames, Equip, and subscribe to that podcast and you get some more information. But I'm not gonna go through all of this information. I'm just gonna give you kind of the key mindset that we wanna operate in and the key methods I'm gonna exhort you to today. So what does it look like to gather together? We need a mindset of how, and we need some methods for what we're gonna be doing. So here's the 4 key mindsets our elders really have tried to walk in this whole pandemic: wisdom, kindness, creativity, and optimism. So let's walk through each of those. First off, wisdom. Wisdom means this: we realize that we are a very large church in the middle of a relatively small community. And so actually, this Sunday, this gathering is gonna be the largest gathering that's happened in months indoors in Ames. We are aware that that is true. And so we're also aware that means out of submission to governing authorities like Romans 13 calls us to as Christians, we can joyfully and gladly listen to state and local health officials and work with them, not against them, to do all we can to both gather and to gather safely. We'll keep gathering, but we want to do it safely. And so our basic wisdom principle that we arrived at as elders is this: we want to have gatherings that are low risk to the individual and present no risk of large spread to our community. And so we're taking extra steps, right? You're ushered in, you're seated 6 feet apart, you're wearing facial coverings, and we are doing this motivated by wisdom, caution, submission, and love. We're not afraid, but we want to live with honor in this time. The second principle for us has been kindness. I just want to talk a little bit about that, because I think for all of us right now, one of the disheartening things we're watching is in the middle of a global pandemic. We don't have a pandemic of kindness and charity toward others. We have a pandemic of judgment and harshness. In Church of Jesus Christ, we should be different from the world in this way. Augustine in the fourth century urged the church in essentials unity, in non-essentials liberty, and in all things charity. In all things love. And I have to tell you, as a leader of this church, I'm sure that were you in my seat, you might personally do some things differently in how you organize a gathering or in how we lead things. And I just want to say to all of you, thank you for the kindness that you've shown me and the elders of our church by gladly following our leadership in this time. We have been supported and loved and prayed for and blessed by you, even in instances where you might want to do something different than we would be asking you to do. Here's what I want to ask you to do, church. I want you to treat the leaders of our community with the same grace that you've treated the leaders of our church. In the coming weeks, there are people all throughout communities that are going to be making really difficult decisions. The leadership of Iowa State University is doing all they know to do. I was on a Zoom meeting with our public school, and I was so proud of the team at Cape Mitchell trying to do all they know to do to love our families. I might make decisions different than them, but I left that call thinking, I need to send a note to every one of these people and tell them, I love how hard you're working. I want to be a cheerleader for people doing all they can. We're going to have a city council meeting this week, and I was present listening in on some of that. There's undoubtedly going to be differences of opinion, but Christians, in times that are incredibly stressful, you know what we're going to do? We're going to be the people of Jesus, and the people of Jesus are kind. Always kind. We're not going to participate in a world that tries to divide and spread hate and protest out everything that we disagree with. You know what we're going to do? We're going to honor people. We're going to be always kind and always gracious. And so what my request is to all of you here is in the coming weeks, treat others with the same kindness you've treated me and the elders of our church. Be that witness for Christ in the world. Kindness. Third principle, creativity. We're going to have a can-do, not a can't-do attitude. We're not going to sit there and go, well, we can't meet on Central Campus and we can't do this. You know what we're going to do? Military precision, 6-foot lines out in a parking lot for the glory of God. Can do. Try. If you have a can't-do attitude, you are getting ready to have a terrible fall, folks. You know that, right? If every day you wake up ticked about all the stuff you're unable to do in your life, you're going to be a miserable person. So cut it out. Don't live that way. Live with a can-do attitude. What can we move toward in grace? Where can we go? I love that. I love how our church has embodied it. Our kids' church is a great example. We can't meet like we normally do in classes. So what did we do? They put Danny and Sandra in front of a camera and recorded kids' church, and it's been awesome. So with creativity, moms and dads and business leaders, figure out what can we do. Let's move with energy toward it. And then finally, optimism. We have a God who is bigger than this time, this season, this fall, or this pandemic. And in all things, what can we do to say, God, we believe that you're at work. Hard times can create soft hearts, and we have a God who controls the wind and the waves, and he is certainly doing something good in this moment. We want to see him in that. So wisdom, kindness, creativity, and faith-filled optimism. That's the mindset we're going to have as a church. And if we're going to grow deeper together, I know that we're going to have to figure out some creative ways to gather and to live together. So I want to give you 5 really practical steps for this fall. For you as individuals, for you as families, for us as members of our church and a community, what's it going to look like for us to grow deeper together this fall? Okay, here's the first practical application of Hebrews 10 for us right now. We need to worship together on Sundays. We have 3 services, 8, 9, 30, and 11, and I suspect we will soon have 4 or 5 or 12. I don't know the exact number, but we're going to keep adding them as long as they keep filling. And you know what? It's going to be awesome to worship together this fall. wearing a mask indoors, usher to your seat, 6 feet apart, and all those uncomfortable things. You know, I was talking to somebody last week who is part, he came up and said, you know, Mark, I just want you to know I've so enjoyed the online experience at Cornerstone. It's been great to worship in my pajamas. And I just had this visual of that gentleman in his pajamas, and I immediately threw up. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But here's what the reason he approached me. He said, but I came back to worship, and I was like, man, I don't know if I'm going to like the mask, and I'm not sure. And I realized halfway through worshiping with a mask on that basement worship, watching your TV in your pajamas is terrible. And actually getting back together with God's people was like a breath of fresh air to my soul. I'll see you back next week. I have felt that every week. Every week I've been here, I have had tears of joy streaming down my face into my spit catcher mask, which probably makes it less effective because it's wet, whatever. I love gathering with God's people. And if a mask on my face helps me to do that, then bless the Lord for it. I will do it. Because gathering with God's people matters. And I want to say a quick word here to parents and families, because I know, first off, kids, you guys have done a great job in the middle of this time. This hasn't been the easiest for you. And you know what? I'm a dad, and so if there's a joyful hum of children's activity in this room, I will bless the Lord for the families of this church, and it will not bother me for an instant. Families, we have nursery opening soon. I just want you to know that. We're working on it. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to have a healthy way to drop off nursery kids, and moms and dads will rejoice. We're thankful for you, kids, but we could just use a little space. So let's gather together to worship on Sundays at Cornerstone. Here's the second thing I want you to apply. I want you to gather together and grow together in connection groups this fall. We may not be able to gather 2,000 people at once, but we could gather 2,000 people in 100 groups of 20 or 200 groups of 10. We could gather in backyards, and we call those groups connection groups. We have them for Salt Company students. We have them for Cornerstone like adults. We have them for kids. Even just to highlight here, our youth ministry, middle school, which is called 180, high school, which is called Escape, we're not going to have a lot of big group things, but we absolutely will have 180 and Escape. It's just going to be in backyards all throughout Ames and the surrounding communities. So this Wednesday night, 7th grade boys middle school ministry kicks off in my backyard. And I'm terrified. I'm abjectly terrified. I have a new fire pit, and I was thinking about lighting a fire, and then I realized I'm hosting a group of 7th grade boys. And so what they should do is just honor me at all times. Because I see some of you boys in this room, and you know that you get a little wild. Okay, I'm just expressing my nervousness here. Guys, it's going to be great. You know what? We're going to have a can-do attitude. We're going to gather up for connection groups, and we're going to have awesome high school and junior high ministry. And for those of you here who need to get connected to a group, now's a great time. There's two ways for you to get connected. First, you can go to cornerstonelife.com/connect, and we will help you from our pastoral team find a group that would match the time that you're available for your family. But the second way is really simple. If you know someone from Cornerstone, if you're new here, or maybe Cornerstoners, you guys are part of a group and you see somebody you don't know, why don't we just invite people to join us? Just informally say, come, let's exercise hospitality. But if we're gonna grow deeper together, we're gonna need more than just a big room. We're gonna need a backyard. We're gonna need space to gather again, safely together, through this time. Here's the third step, practically. If we're gonna go grow deeper together, I wanna invite some of you to join us in the membership of this church. Membership of a church is different from membership at a country club. A country club you join because you need to pay money for people to think you're awesome and to get access to the pool and all that other stuff. A church you join because you're part of a family, because you're members of one another. The biblical idea of membership isn't paying to receive goods and service. The biblical idea of membership is based on the text in Ephesians where he says we are part of a body and therefore members of one another. We're interconnected. And so membership is just this simple statement. This isn't just a church that I go to. This is my church that I'm a part of. These are my people. We're connected together in Christ. And so if you haven't taken that step, you can go online, cornerstonelife.com/membership. And actually, you can take now our membership course online, and it ends up with like a Zoom meeting with some of our elders, and you have the chance to become part of the membership here, to make promises, say we want to be faithful together, faithful to attend the service, faithful to live in the way Jesus would call us, faithful to serve and use our gifts, and faithful to give and support the ministry of the church financially. And I just want to say a quick word to the membership of our church. You guys are awesome. We have almost 1,500 members of this church who are some of the most godly, wonderful people. I'm proud to be a pastor here because I love being part of this. It is a joy to lead at this church. Thanks for making it that way. And if you're not part of Cornerstone, we'd love, in the middle of the most unusual of times, to invite you into the membership of this church. Two more steps I want to call you to, and I'm going to hit them just both quickly. They have to do with your neighborhood and with your family. If we're going to grow deeper together, I want us to grow deeper together as neighbors. I hated seeing the devastation of the recent storms. I loved seeing how so many of you picked up a chainsaw and loved somebody, which is not a phrase that I use often. You walked across the street and you looked over the fence and you said, "What can I do to help?" I would love to see if in this time, in our just crisis as a nation, if somehow neighborhoods actually could draw together, not just split apart. Let's lead the way in that. Let's grow deeper with our neighbors. Let's go on the walk and take notice of the person next door. And then in our families, I would love to have kids' classrooms open. I know. I would love to have more resources available, but listen, guys, God's plan for godly kids has always been moms and dads. We've always, as a church, existed to be a resource and a help to you, and we're gonna keep doing this, but moms and dads, God made you for this moment, so get your Bible out and love your kids and point them to Jesus. Grow as a family. Don't just focus on what you can't do. Focus on how God is building you together as a family in this moment. In all of these ways, by worshiping together, by doing connection groups together, part of membership together, growing in neighborhoods and families together, God is growing us deeper together. There's something he's doing in this unusual time that could be of unusual good in your life. Why am I confident of all that? Go to Hebrews 10 again. Just want to draw us back to the text as we land the plane here this morning. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Why are we confident that God is going to grow us deeper? Why is it that all this really matters? Because verse 19 says, "Brothers and sisters, we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus. He has inaugurated a new and living way for us to go to God." Verse 21 says, "Jesus is a great high priest over the house of God, and so we can draw near to God with a true heart and full assurance of faith." Verse 23 says, "There's a confession we can hold to, a hope we can have without wavering, because God who promised it all is faithful." And so therefore, we gather together and we encourage one another. Why do we do all those things? Why do they matter? Because there's something that God has done for us in Jesus that is so good and so glorious that we want to keep meeting together so we don't forget who we are and all he's done. Friends, we gather together. We've been made one in Christ because Jesus actually left the perfect gathering of heaven to pursue us at great cost. We're now united to one another because Jesus would be cast out in the darkness to bring us in, so that those of us who once didn't have a home with God are now part of the family of God. Because all of that is true of us now in Jesus' church, we can be confident. In the craziest of all seasons, if God wouldn't hold back the gift of his son, he can do good in this moment in your life. Don't believe for a second that just because we're headed into a different and unusual fall, we're headed into a hopeless fall. No way. We have a God who would split heaven and earth to come to us in Christ. You can be confident he can do good in you right now. So let's ask God to do that. To grow us deeper together. So Father, we come to you. We come because there is a new and a living way that has been opened for us through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we come to you in full confidence that as we enter your presence, you accept us there. And God, we come to you with full confidence that in the middle of whatever the difficulty we find ourselves in this fall, there are purposes in our pain, there are purposes in unusual situations, and in an unknown situation, we're gonna root our lives in a known God, and we're gonna believe that you can do something here. Jesus, I thank you for the hard paths. Easy paths make sleepy Christians. But it has been the hardest paths in my life where your grace has carried me. And so, Jesus, we're not asking for an easy fall. We're asking for a good fall, a growing fall, a fall where we grow deeper together and grow deeper in you. Jesus, we hold fast to you. You came for us. Fill us with hope and courage as a church and as a people. We ask it in your name. Amen.